Hi, welcome to Pod as a Woman. I'm Eli Olsberg.
I'm Teresa Lee.
Very excited about this week's episode because this is a very juicy track.
Yeah.
It might be my favorite now.
It's kind of grown into this role.
I like it a lot. I don't think it cracks the top five. Okay. Well, maybe it does.
Some of us have not lived through enough trauma. Yeah.
Or maybe some of us just heal better than others.
Oh, my God.
Shots drag me. Fired. Okay.
So who do we have on today?
Oh,
very excited.
I'm so excited. Well, we have our actually photographer of our logo, yeah. John Michael Bond.
Hello.
Hello, hello.
Welcome.
And we have very funny comedian and stand-up friend, old-time friend. I don't know.
Megan Gailey.
What's your
By the way,
I don't know why that came out so weird. I
by the way, just want to say really quick, John Michael Bond, also a comedian.
Yeah.
We just said photographer.
Well, you just have more skills than
I make way more money as a photographer.
I was trying to tie it back
so.
To the podcast in some way, and then I realized that I didn't fact check. So
we are in the culture now where podcasts do come and go. Like
they
people
do.
just start one.
Oh, that article went viral.
Which one?
I think it was New York Times. Women. Two people were like, okay, we're going to make a podcast. And then they did six episodes and were like, why isn't it successful? And everybody was so mad at them. And it's like, okay, but I know 700 people that have also done that.
Yeah.
So like,
yeah,
but these people shouldn't have been interviewed.
Yeah, exactly. That was the, it was like,
crazy.
They put up six episodes. They're like, why aren't we making $1 million on our Patreon
but
already?
But then you also hear about women who do that and they do, so you hear both sides, so it's like I can see why they thought that, but I think it's like with anything that shouldn't be the goal.
Podcasts are the new multi-level marketing.
You see
people with Lexus and you go, it can be me, and the thing is it can't.
I'm a proponent of shows that end, which is why I like that this ends when the album ends.
Yes, at same. Well, yeah. Long. Yeah, exactly.
This was supposed to end when Sweetener ended, but then she gave us the gift
more.
of Thank You Next.
Yeah. Yeah, and we were like, we have to continue this. Also, that's because this album just, what a follow up.
Yeah.
Oh my God. I mean, it's really eclipsed.
Every podcast would be better if they ended after six episodes. Most
yeah.
of the time.
Yeah. The series thing that's really caught on is a great idea.
I love that.
Yeah.
Some of them. Aren't worth starting, but the ones that do, where you're like, you know, there's just an end point, or it's like a short discussion, you're like,
yes,
perfect.
Yeah.
Well, we want to know, since this is an Ariana Grande podcast, what are your guys' relationships with Ariana? Are you a fan? Do you like her? It's okay if you're not. We just want to know where you're coming from.
I work from home alone, so Spotify is my office mate. And she came up on a random playlist one day, and then that was all I listened to for like 3 weeks.
Okay.
But I didn't think about it until my wife came home and was like, "Are you listening to Ariana Grande?"
Earnestly. What era was this?
It was Sweetener.
Oh, okay, it's pretty recent.
It was a ubiquitous. I feel like it was impossible to avoid that record if you like hit random on any streaming service at that point.
Sure.
But I got like super into it. I didn't anticipate it. I got like really emotionally involved in it. And then I was a big Mac Miller fan, so when I found out they were connected and he passed away, I was like, well, now I have to examine all of her art and find out where there's like subliminals and shit.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Yeah, because they did a lot of collaboration on each other's tracks and like influence each other a lot.
Yeah. That was like the song that she did with him on Divine Feminine was the only thing I had ever heard of her before.
Yeah.
And then I was just like, oh, she's absolutely fantastic. And then I found out she was 3 feet tall. So it's like a whole bunch of things. Yeah.
Megan?
I like her music. I would not buy a ticket to see her in concert. Mm. There is something about my relationship with her, I don't want to put it on her, that keeps me from being like, I am a quote-unquote fan.
Gotcha.
Okay.
And I don't know what that is, because I love female pop divas. Uh-huh. I'm a huge Miley fan.
Okay.
I love Cher. I've seen Britney in concert. I've seen Christina in concert. Like, I will, you know, quote unquote, stan.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
For Ariana, I don't know if it's the appropriation, which is perhaps something I'm using as a block or as my own defense mechanism. I also had a nail woman once who was like, I did her nails, and she talked in a baby voice the whole time to me on the phone, but was like, not talking about baby, was like, "Yakko's so fucking cunt," you know, like saying grown up things in a baby voice, and did not tip. And I know sometimes when you go to someone's house, they think like, "Oh, someone else paid for this," and they did, you know.
Yeah.
So I don't. There's enough blocks that keep me from being like, I love her. I also always wear my hair down. And so
it's the pony,
that's something too where I'm like, I just can't imagine being famous and always having my hair up.
Yeah.
That seems psychotic to me.
Is it an extension?
It's heavy.
A fake...
It hurts.
Yeah,
her
she
head,
says
yeah.
It's very heavy. It is an extension.
Okay.
And apparently what had happened, it was born out of her hair. She used to have to dye it red a lot on a Nickelodeon show called Sam and Cat. No, but it's apparently so fucked up and fried from dyeing it red so much that it was just easier to do this because it really...
And then it stuck.
Yeah. Got it. Now do the blackface.
Yeah.
Okay, never mind. That was a huge problem for me with it because I heard her voice and was like, oh, she's amazing. And I saw pictures of her and I was like, oh... Okay, and then I saw old pictures of her and was like, wait a fucking
The old pictures.
Yeah. It's definitely, yeah.
That it's almost like
that
men that had, assault and horrible past pre-Me Too that were like, well, we just give him a pat. Like, it's we didn't catch it fast enough with her, and now we're like, it's fine, she's tan. And it's like, well, but we have evidence.
Well, I think part of it with pop stars, why they kind of bypass that sometimes is because I think that... white women, that's like pop star privilege because Miley Cyrus, as you can see, goes in and out of it all the time.
But we know Miley's white.
Yeah, and she doesn't do the makeup.
Yeah, sure. It's like, and to Miley, see, but this is a fan now being like, when I saw her, God, I'm forgetting the album. Like she had black
bangers?
Bangers. So she had black dancers, and I was like, what the fuck? And she was like, I'm employing black women. Like, I don't know. Like, they're up here, shaking their ass. And I like seeing that. And that's what I like having around. And that's, goes with the theme of my concert. But I'm also employing people.
I mean,
that's
Ariana
interesting.
Does too, though.
Yeah. Well, that's interesting because I think it comes down to image, too. Because I think... I would argue Ariana does more to elevate her black writers than, someone like Miley does. Because I know the names of, Ariana's black writers.
Mm-hmm.
Where I don't know who Miley has worked with, I think of her as in her white bubble with background dancers.
Mm-hmm. And I think the big distinction is Ariana has pop R&B influences where you can kind of see she features a lot of artists too that aren't just white. And I think with Miley, she dropped it and she was like, "Look, I'm more mature now. Here's a song called Malibu," and then was like, "Oh, it didn't work. Well, here's
worked for me. I loved it.
Yeah, it did not work for a lot of people.
I love the video too. On the flip side, I think with Ariana, I'm like, what came first, the chicken or the egg? Do you do this because of people being like, hey, bitch, we saw you in 2004 and this isn't what you look like? Or is this just out of your good conscience, which I don't believe that it is.
And I also didn't know Ariana was a Disney kid.
She's Nickelodeon.
Or Nickelodeon. Yeah. Well, they're the same fucking
thing. Sure, yeah.
But, that's...
It would be weirder if you knew.
Yeah, I feel like if I knew, I would be on a list. But, the fact that they were both child actors, being able to pinpoint one and seeing the evolution, I think I gave Miley leeway, because I was like, well, you're Billy Ray Cyrus's kid. There's the fact that you're only offensive racially this way is kind of admirable.
And now he's gone full circle.
Yeah, and now he's the progressive
supporting
one.
Supporting Lil Nas X.
Go figure. But with her, I was just like... I found her and then found out about her past and then found it was much stranger for me.
You went through a lot of...
I
went through a lot of emotion. And by myself. I want to be very clear.
In the 3 weeks you're listening
to... I talked to my cat about it. It was a lot of shit.
But I love her music.
Yeah.
I really do. Yeah. I really like her music. But there's an Achilles heel and unfortunately the Achilles heel is half of her body.
Yeah.
Well, and it's... Sometimes when her music... I'm like, is this authentic or not? I listen to it, and you can hear enough old influences of old Mariah Carey.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And there's enough classic R&B influence in it that shouldn't be there if you're trying to be famous now, where I'm like, okay, you actually like this shit. It's not something you're trying to pivot towards. Because if you were, you would be writing much, much more catchy, not catchy, but more traditionally structured pop songs. Yes.
It does feel less capitalistic, I will say that. I for the record, we've talked about this a lot on this podcast, but just so you guys know, I also do think it's a problem, and I have a lot of issues with appropriation, but I do think out of all the divas, she seems like someone who, like you said, genuinely does appreciate it.
Yeah.
Doesn't mean it's right. I think there's still a deeper conversation to be had, but I do think she... it doesn't come from a capitalistic place. It does still benefit her, so of course you can't discount that. But I do think it's not just let's pick this look because it works for me. I think it comes from, I so want to, be in this genre. Yeah.
I hate this, but I do give the benefit of the doubt to people who are already rich, where I'm like, oh, maybe you're just dumb. Like,
yeah.
Like
oh, you see, don't... and I take it away. I like when they're rich, I'm like, well, fuck you.
I'm like,
well,
she's got the kind of money where like she doesn't need to do like. Sometimes I'm like, oh, yeah. No one told you no because you're so big.
I just am a hater for anyone that has one more dollar than me.
Then I hate the world.
Yes, I agree. Well, I've got, especially in the last few years, I've definitely become less empathetic for the rich. Mm-hmm. But I do think with pop
she's
stars,
the only one.
They definitely get more of a pass because, well, look, I mean, Britney Spears is super wealthy, but also like there's a whole thing right now where her money's being controlled. That's it, her whole situation's still sad.
Yeah.
But I do think I try to remember that where I'm like, oh yeah, this is a person who ultimately can do what they want. A lot of people are too afraid to say no.
Yeah. The only person who ever has was Pink.
For sure.
And, you know, like that's why I think Pink is someone who's had a lasting career because she was like, no, this is who I am. And everyone was like, I don't think we like that.
Yeah.
And then people were like, yeah, but we do like your singing and we do like your acrobats. And now we're back.
Oh my God,
you know what's
what
really interesting? Somebody went on like a real, like I rarely try to go on these threads where they on Twitter where they really start shredding people like but there was one for Christina Aguilera that blew me away with because she's known for being very not only difficult but exceptionally rude to her fans and there are people who will defend her but like they showed like all this stuff, how personal she took shit with Britney Spears. She would just like trash her any chance she got.
She was jealous.
It was like crazy and I thought about it and I was like I guess that's why Christina Aguilera of the bunch really didn't like at best now she can probably fill up the Greek.
She doesn't even have new music.
But when she does, she has put out music since I think in this decade.
And we haven't
she
cared.
She only a couple years ago.
Her vocals, I think, were stronger than Britney's.
Oh, totally.
Absolutely.
But her personality.
Jessica Simpson was stronger than Britney. Well,
people will give you the benefit of the doubt if you have, like, one shitty record, especially if you had, like, people putting all your shit together when you were young.
Yeah.
But, like, if you're a dick in your 30s and you have a bad record, you can't get over both of those at the same time.
Yeah.
And her artistic choices weren't ever cool. You know, like, Britney may not be the best singer, but she still is an incredible dancer.
Yeah.
And like walking out with a snake, Christina could not have come
she's
up with
icon.
That.
Yeah.
And Britney put out like a difficult record, which is hard for a pop star, you know? But people were like, well, I don't like it, but at least she tried to do something that like I antagonistically didn't like, as opposed to something that's like safe and boring, like Aguilera did at one point.
And she's in Crossroads, you know? What a great film.
I won't hear any bad words about Crossroads.
I love Crossroads.
Manipulated.
It was an important movie.
Wait, do you guys remember when Big Sean said that Ariana Grande had $1 million pussy? Do you remember this?
No.
What is it?
I was just thinking about today because he said that when she was still like, she was like famous, but she was like, maybe it was yours truly.
She was wholesome.
No, he said it in an interview, and this was like, when they were together, and then people were like kind of saying this as like goals. Isn't that funny how far they both come?
That's amazing.
Truly, both of them have evolved a lot as a person. But he said that, and it's meant to be kind of like, ooh, cute. Like, you know, her man thinks she's hot, and it's kind of a compliment, but also kind of weird.
I think it's a great, I'm sitting here being like, I hope this will someday be said about, and my days are numbered.
I wonder if she like, if that's a thing where like she's amazing and she brings that out in men, or she only dates men who talk about her that way.
No, I think it was both. It was the idea that she's so talented, she's gonna make $1 million or whatever, and also that her pussy's so good, it's $1 million. But I remember reading that and being like, I love this couple, and also that was before she like became, you know, whatever billionaire that she is, and like it came true, and they're both about manifesting. So I think there's something
she also
truly something about the energy there really launched.
I gotta
that vision board dick.
She also put herself on the song Research, which is like
I love that song. It's
such
so
a good
good
song. I don't know. Have you ever heard that song?
No.
Big Sean made a song called Research. It ended up being
I actually may have, and just don't know the
it's a
B-side.
This is what's so crazy. It's a B-side that picked up enough steam that a lot of people listen to it, but it's also a song where she comes off as like,
because we're going to
really
talk to Big Sean today, right?
Yeah, but it's all a song about like girls being too codependent, and she totally sings that part.
It's so good because she makes fun of herself. This made me like her a lot. Wait,
you really had that queued up.
Yes.
I like that Big Sean raps like Pete Davidson thinks his personality comes across.
Oh, that's perfect. Wow, like, that is...
That's
it's like there we go. Oh no. Here it comes.
I just like that he talks about how she like knows a password to his phone.
Yeah.
And she just plays a crazy bitch in it. But they did this while they were together, which
I know that's
really funny.
Wow.
Wait, I wonder, is this the Chris Brown verse?
Then we gotta get it out of here.
No, no, Chris Brown doesn't appear on the song.
No, makes no, no. He thinks about running.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it's not. No, no, it's not like a pro Chris Brown.
I definitely cried fight with a DJ before about Chris Brown.
Well, so
it's fine. Well, he basically has a line where he said he runs into Chris Brown, and he's like, I feel like he mentions Ariana, and he's like, I feel like I don't know your ass, which I think is so funny because he's like name dropping their friends, or not friends, but their peers.
Yeah, he brings up Drake at some point,
and he's like, why are you wearing Drake's chain? Which I think is so funny to put on the song because it is kind of like tongue in cheek, but also you can tell they're both at this stage of their careers, they're both kind of petty. And so they were for sure like putting shit into this song.
I mean, but Chris Brown and Drake also seem like people who would try to fuck your girl.
Well, that's 100%. What I mean. It was definitely, she was kind of, she's also the kind of girl who
but also
wouldn't
talk
cheat.
Shit about her.
Yeah.
I'd be like, she's whack.
I need
and
to talk to
her.
You. Your
I mean,
girlfriend, she's not loyal. I tested it myself.
Yeah. The fact that that picture of them together is ridiculous.
It's so,
so upsetting.
Oh my God. I just think that like in this song, she seems like the kind of girl who like is just doing it to, so that it gets back to him, but is like totally loyal. But it's just like, well, you ignore my calls. So like, I was just at Soul House with Chris Brown.
I think part of why this song didn't get put on the album was because it's kind of a spiritual sequel to I Don't Fuck With You.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like,
sure.
I
can see that.
Because like it's calling out the same kind of behavior in a lot of ways, like being crazy and shit. And
so it's like a prequel to I Don't Fuck With You. Yeah, it's when I do fuck with you and then,
and then
I get sick of it, then I don't fuck with you.
So clearly
I brought up Big Sean because Big Sean came out with, I know we have to get to the song, but quick.
No, it's
happened.
Fine.
Recently, he just came out with a song called Single Again. Him and Janae Aiko broke up. She's featured on it, so they're still friends. But it's kind of like a little bit of an answer to Thank You Next.
I called it RC Cola Thank You Next.
It is nowhere near as
good. Do you think he was like, hey, do you want to be on my new song? And then she got there, and they were like, it's called Single Again. And she was like, oh, let me in the booth.
Yeah,
so funny.
Yeah, I've got some bars.
Yeah,
she just sang her own hook on his song.
But I do think the message is very Thank You Next. It's all about like I'm gonna put me first. It's kind of nice and positive. And I don't forget, she said Big Sean can still get it in her music video for Thank You Next.
I don't think they're gonna get back together.
No, they're not. But I just think he's definitely trying to like get her attention.
Oh yeah.
Oh no, he's trying to do a Drake.
And he just hit puberty. His voice sounds deeper.
I don't speak ill of rappers publicly based on what's happening in the comedy world. So, Big Sean, love it, and you're tall.
Oh, it's okay. Big Sean fans aren't on Wellbutrin.
Here's the other thing about this song that I think is really funny is right now, everybody, I'm about to hate self-care so much because people just talk about like, they're like,
I'm already there.
I'm single and I'm going to go to the spa and I'm going to go into debt taking care of myself. And I might not answer your text for a week.
Politically, we're very in a self-care place.
Yes.
We're kind of moving out of it because there's quote work to be done.
Yes.
But it was a lot of, and I was using it as a crutch to be like, I'm going to get high.
Yeah.
A lot. And then it's like, okay, but you're also being an asshole. You know, you can't self-care to the point that you're a degenerate and a bad friend.
Yeah.
I think you have to be able to become a whole person on your own. And then that you don't stop there. Then you're supposed to give back to society because then you have the tool to give back.
Yeah.
But people
yeah.
stop at that, like, well, I'm good by
I'm
myself.
I'm taken care
and then
of.
They stop giving back.
There's a lot yeah, of people yeah. who read a blog and were like, well, my doctor said, like, they didn't actually talk to anybody about self care. They were just like, someone said that this is an appropriate thing to do.
This is where astrology.
And they just became a selfish friend.
This is where astrology gets a lot of shit, rightfully so, because then people start really using.
Yeah.
Elements of birth charts and placements and
I feel like moms need self care and yeah. then everyone yeah. else does not. Like yeah. no man yeah. on earth needs self care. Yeah. maybe Obama day after he sure. left office was like, yeah. listen guys, I'm gonna men, soak in a mud bath.
Men need yeah. self care. They just need to never bother a woman with.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah, that's funny. Yeah, you shouldn't self care at someone. If you're doing yeah, that, yeah. then you're doing it wrong.
Self care on a fleshlight.
You know who does need self care?
Oh,
let's talk about Ariana Grande.
And
let's talk about this song, In My Head.
Yes, and I'm gonna cue it up in a second. But can you kind of go through the credits there? I'll
yeah,
say something
sure.
about it.
It's written by Ariana, Andrew Wansell, Nathan Perez, Brittany. Is it Chi? Chai Coney, Denizia Andrews, Lindell Dion, Nelson Jr., Jameel Roberts. That's
two
names.
There's no
comment.
Seven people wrote it, yeah. And then the rest of them, and then, so say the producing credits.
And produced by Pop Wansell, Happy Perez, Nova Wave.
So all those writers that are not Ariana Grande are all part of producing teams yeah. in yeah. that writing credit. So
when it says writing, because I don't understand how modern pop music yeah. is made. Mm-hmm. When it says writing, is the producer who comes up with the song, the music, and then the writing credit is who comes up with like the lyrics
correct.
And the yeah. melodies?
Yes, yeah. but it's whoever's in the studio when they're writing. So sometimes they'll have teams, yeah. writing teams, and like let's say four people are a team. And
someone's just sitting there.
God. Sometimes, yeah.
But eating.
Sometimes, yeah, they would still, if you're in the room and you're in the booth, you still yeah. have to sign.
Well, and I say that as someone who's been in rooms eating yeah. and, yeah, got, yeah. and gotten writer credits.
Yes, as have I. Yeah.
Just like, I was there. Can't yes. point to one thing on the show, but I was there.
Yeah. There is. I remember one gig I had. I went in for 2 days, and I was like, I don't think a single thing I said explicitly made it.
Well,
on the
2 days, you have an excuse. I've been places. Whole weeks.
Yeah.
I mean, a present credit is still a credit, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. Your mind, your energy. Like,
well, because the thing is, yeah, you're adding, energies. As a woman, sure. you know, you definitely are like, I need to be here so they don't masturbate in front of the other yeah. woman.
I would say that the fear of Megan would be a strong enough thing to make me write stronger in
Thank
a room.
You. Thank
so.
You.
Yeah. Very imposing.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
yeah.
Girl.
I'm Big Sean size.
The idea that there's seven people in the room writing this song, I do like that it seems like it's just people sitting around dissing her boyfriend. It seems like a roast circle that got turned into a poem.
There's two interesting things about the song. Her normal writers aren't on it.
Yeah.
A lot of these people are not her regulars. Only two of them are.
Interesting.
Wansell and the other guy, Perez.
Perez.
They're on a few other songs. I think they did Imagine. They did like a few other deep, like the ones that are clearly more personal tracks. Mm-hmm. But most of this album it's kind of bifurcated where it's like either the Swedish producers, Max Martin, Ilya, who produced a lot of like Taylor Swift songs
yeah.
Before she went.
They did like the dance ones on it,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, from mm-hmm. like 1989 and stuff. Yeah, they did the more poppy ones on this and Sweetener. And then she has like these close friends who are very heavily credited.
Yeah, like Taylor.
Tyler Parks and Victoria Monet.
Is Middlebrook listed as a credit?
Not officially, and we'll tell you why.
Oh, interesting. Did they fall
so
out?
So let's just play. No, not at all.
Oh,
not
damn.
At all. So here, we'll play that part that we're referring to, okay. and then we'll talk about it.
Okay.
Here's the thing. You're in love with a version of a person that you've created in your head, that you are trying to but cannot fix. The only person you can fix is yourself. I love you. This has gone on way too long. Enough is enough. I'm 2 blocks away. I'm coming over.
What is that accent? Is that
British?
Is he British or is he like
Troy,
American or rich? Because some rich Americans speak like
he's
they
rich,
think.
He's rich and British.
Okay.
Posh.
This song makes me want to cry. I've heard it so many times now. It's evolved in my head.
So originally, the song was supposed to open with something else. It was originally supposed to be... Hold on, I'm going to pull up the notes. originally, it was...
spoken word of the all-star lyrics.
Wait, where
it's okay, I have it. It was originally going to be a line from Jack Nicholson in The Shining. He says... You seem to have things strangely confused in your mind, but our team couldn't get it cleared. Grande cites Middlebrook as a major help through some very difficult moments, so I wanted to capture that a little, give him a musical hug. It's his favorite song, so it fits. He also says In Your Head, which is wild.
Yeah, that's what she said.
It got added after.
Yeah. So yeah, this was added after the fact. Originally, it was supposed to be this line from The Shining, and which would have been incredible. I would have literally jumped
and
out.
And she would have said it.
No.
It would have been like a sample from the movie. Okay. All right.
But I guess I don't know if it's Warner Brothers or Kubrick's estate.
Female reboot of The Shining with Ariana Grande.
Clearly, Kubrick has problems with women in the afterlife.
And she plays all the characters. She plays the twins. She plays like,
Big Sean's just screaming in a bathroom. That'd be amazing.
I'd love to see a reboot of Reservoir Dogs with the Seven Rings. The girls from Seven Rings.
I hope this team works with her more because I really love this song.
Yeah, and I also hope she gets to use a Shining quote at some point. Yeah. I stand a cinematic icon.
Can't she just do it on stage? Like,
oh, yeah, you could do it live. Yeah. But yeah. I think...
Be like, I'm fair you sing this. This is from... Stanley Kubrick's 1978 film, The Shining.
There has to be a stage production she could use, you know?
And live, people do shit all the time. That's why you hear covers and stuff. Yeah. It doesn't... Yeah. As soon as you record it in any capacity. But
damn.
I think now people associate the Doug Middlebrook thing too much. Like, it's such
like it's so part of it.
Yeah. And
Who is Doug Middlebrook?
It's her quote-unquote best friend.
Yeah, okay. He's like an Instagram person. Like, I've been trying
sometimes in her stories, but he's not around a lot, right?
Yeah, I don't know what
he's famous for knowing people.
I should have looked this up
because now I feel bad.
No, yeah. I looked it up. He's literally famous for knowing her.
You really
basically.
Got deep in the hole. So he's,
when I heard this song, there was the fact that his voice it was such a weird personal touch.
Yeah.
And then the song that followed, like, I like the song a lot, but this is not a song that fits that voicemail.
Thing is like my favorite because I just thought about like Selena, bless her heart, with the voicemail, her recording of being sad over Bieber. Do you guys remember that? The heart wants what it wants.
Mm-hmm.
She puts that at the beginning of it, I think, or something in the music video.
Yes.
And I love that. I like fall for that shit all the time because I'm like, it's real. Like, your friend is telling you this thing and you're going through a thing and then you wrote
it
down.
Yeah, I do think
it's
interesting that she's like, I'm going to put this in a song because she obviously, I think, legitimately saved it because she loved it. Like, she probably used it as like a reminder thing or something. But I can also, now knowing that what you're saying, he's like essentially kind of not a socialite exactly, but like a
I'm thinking of that man who's like friends with all the Kardashians with the weird face.
Yes.
Yeah. He's been friends with her for a long time.
Right.
So he's known her since I remember things.
Her inner circle is like from childhood mostly.
Yeah,
most
like,
of them, yeah.
They've been friends since like 2014 or 13 or something.
How does she know this British man?
So that's the other thing.
Was he on Nickelodeon?
No, he's one of those people. There's a few people like that I've met. There's one I met, and I don't remember what circle they ran in. This was like years ago, where someone told me, they're like, yeah, that person just literally knows everybody. They're just like at parties.
Like
so eventually they work themselves into this thing. Just, sounds like what?
I said sociopath.
He was the one guy she knew who didn't do coke, so they're like real close now.
And then, she has a childhood friend named Courtney who's always there. And
Cipollone,
it's two Italians. And... And who else am I missing? I feel like there's one other one from when there's like a girl who's like does like a lifestyle blog who's like
they were all in the Mean Girls
Lexi
or
something
Next,
but they all like they've known each other since they were like and then after that's the next crew, which is like the songwriters that she works with a lot, who she put out a song with,
her coworker crew.
Yeah. Though I think it also speaks to his credit that we don't know who he is, because like it would be super easy for someone in her orbit with that accent to like make a career out of it, you know.
Yeah.
So like,
yeah.
I think the fact that he doesn't promote it more may make the perspective that he's a better dude. On the flip side, I'm very easily susceptible to sociopaths. So like, I was sold on him immediately.
I think he could just be laying a foundation.
Yeah,
sure.
For
really come out
album fours drops, he's like snaps on her.
Yeah,
he like literally in the opening track, he's like, "Listen, I told you on the last album, you need to get your shit together." The song supposedly was written, it was finished in 12 hours.
Yeah.
Good.
Yeah.
It's not a ton.
Yeah. I mean, I'm just thinking about it in terms of like, okay, let's say they met at 10 in the morning and they finished at 10 at night.
Yeah.
I mean, look, songs take time.
They met like 4 p.m. and finished at 4.
Does that include
I also
the
think
beat?
They could have met for like 6 hours, gone home, slept, and then put some finishing touches on
it. I could see her doing 12 hours of work, but I could also see like, she came in, the beat was done, and then it took 12 hours to like construct the song around the pre-existing beat.
Well, the thing I didn't paste from the information I got was that it was recorded at three different studios across the country and engineered. But from my understanding, the way songs work now, you can literally just send files back and forth.
People are just Skyping.
People just Dropbox this shit in. So like, someone in Virginia Beach who's like known for being a good mixer could do the mix and then send it back to someone in LA who recorded there. And then another person in New York is working to do whatever, you know, whatever else needs to be done. So I could see this all being done in 12 hours in like a very, what was that?
I think an earring.
Oh, an earring fell off. So let's see here. So Ariana says the song is about being in love with the version of somebody you've created in your head, falling for someone they are not.
So it's about thinking Pete Davidson. It's funny.
Well,
is it about Pete?
It's 100% about Pete.
It's definitely about Pete. But I want to say, you said something about roasting him, and I did think that was funny, but I also read it as roasting herself because, I mean, like, with that message from her middle book about, like, you know, you create it in your head, I really think, like, she's come to a point where she's, like, realized, like, I'm responsible for getting involved in the lie. Like, when you get in a relationship with someone who's lying to you, you're agreeing to believe the lie.
And what, and what was he lying about?
Well, hold on. See, there's two debates here.
I saw it as, like, one, it is, like, there's a lot of self-humor in it about, like, the things she didn't pick up on. But it's also written in such a way that it seems, like, it the first, like, 10 times I heard it, I didn't think she was trying to be funny in any of it. And then you go back and you're like, oh, these are all incredibly backhanded compliments.
Sure, she wants to be petty, for
sure.
Like, it's super petty.
It's like, thank you, Ned, like, it's masked in, like, growth.
Well, my thing is, I also thought initially, I'm like, this is strictly about Pete Davidson. But I also realized something around the second or third time I heard it where I was like, oh, no, she's also talking about a type.
Yeah, like a pattern.
Yeah, because Mac Miller, I mean, look, they work in two different careers.
I think there's a lot of Mac in this, too.
Yeah, that's the pre-chorus.
They have two different careers, but they're both tatted white dudes. Mm-hmm. Like, there's a type here.
Yeah.
And also who have certain, like, proclivities in different ways, but they're still kind of the same in terms of their own patterns.
Well, she won't play this. I mean, she didn't say she won't, but she hasn't played it live. She didn't play when we went, and I wonder if this is why I do think a lot of this might be about Mac, but it's easy for us to project Pete on it, and it's easy for her to, believe that. But I think the reason this might be hard for her is because, you know, obviously with Mac gone, it's hard for her to sit in that feeling. But that's a real feeling. I mean, their relationship was toxic at times.
And by the way, when they played it live, or when we saw it live, she has been using it as an interlude at the concert.
Yeah, it's like a costume change song, I don't see her doing in for a song about a dead guy.
Yeah.
And also it has that line about the sheets.
Yeah. But isn't it confusing, and I do this, everyone does this, where in Thank You Next, she really is very complimentary of her exes, specifically those two.
Yeah, that's like four songs later.
And then to just like, so were they written around the same time? And she just was like, you can have dual feelings about people? Or was this like a realization that she made? Like, what did Pete do?
I don't think that he did something bad. So I take back, when I say lie, I don't mean like I'm necessarily like full on lying to you, but I mean like when a lie is
presented himself
believe.
Differently.
Yeah, when it's like, we both know this isn't, the feeling that we're both feeling is this thing we're agreeing to like kind of like take the drug of love, even though it's like, this isn't lasting, this isn't real, we haven't really gotten to know each other, but let's have fun. And you kind of both agree to that. And I think that's what that relationship was.
The drug thing is like really on the nose, I think. Like it's you ever get like high and promise to go hiking with somebody?
I was going to a strip club.
Yeah, that's
last weekend.
That's 100% what I feel like his marriage proposal was. Like, and I know that's a really brutal thing to say about a person.
But you say that.
But it's really...
It's like, oh, I'm so drunk on this love that I'll be like, yeah, of course I'll get married. And it's like all these big promises that he's making, and then eventually it's just kind of like, but also you talk about me this way, and like
there's a high in doing something crazy, because it's like if the person with you is on board to do the crazy thing, because usually if I propose to someone on first date, they'd be like, no, and that's the end of that, and there's no story, and I'm just like, well, that was crazy. But if you're with someone, you're like, I think this is crazy enough, and they're crazy enough that they're gonna say yes, then you're like kind of going on this trip together.
Something I've thought for years now is it's only crazy when you're not on the same page. If you're on the same page, nothing's crazy, because you're both like being, I mean,
they didn't have time to properly understand each other. So that's why it's crazy. Like, people say don't get married so early, not because Not because no, that not the people saying, aren't right
I'm
for each
not
other.
Saying objectively, it uh-huh. is. It's fucking nuts. But what I mean is, like, it when you're
two
both
in. One month in,
sitting,
one,
a, sitting
like
in
month.
A room, and you're like, "What if we
two people agreed?"
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
What is sorry. Annoying though is like, and famous people do this a mm-hmm. lot. We all were like, "This is embarrassing. This is crazy. You guys are too much. Stop, 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 stop." And they were like, "You guys just don't support our love." And it's like, no, we have predicted everything that happened, you dumb fucking idiots.
But that's because we're viewing it from the standpoint of people who would have financial consequences if we acted like that.
Yes, and furthermore,
which is,
we also...
Your heart is so much more buffer if you're rich.
But I just want them to be like, yeah, y'all were right. You know, I feel like there's no humility in the fact that, like, you clearly did something insane.
Yeah.
And and you also, in a sense, are dining out together and broken up. Like, we're all clamoring to hear this breakup song, and it's like, you tricked all of us and yourselves. And honestly, I think you should have to sit in a room in silence.
Mm-hmm. Well, wow. Here's the other thing. I think anybody the age of 25, like, I remember thinking this when it happened. I was like, it's also crazy that anyone's getting worked up, because we all know what happens when you're under 25. Even if you did, I would even argue with some people in their early 20s when they, regardless of the financial consequences.
When they're
poor.
I got married when I was 24 and poor, and it was the worst decision of my life.
Yeah,
and I like her still.
Some poor peasants in their early 20s have made some dumb, obviously the stakes are way different, but it is like a thing where,
entirely.
Well, yeah.
We should go back to that, because I mean, John Michael Bond married his first love, and I think because I was going to say with Ariana, like, it's very relatable to want. It wasn't her first love, but early love. It's relatable to be like, what if this is the one and I know it right away? And before you really know it, to just be like, well, let's just say we know it, because then if it works out in 10 years, then we can say we knew it. And that's what it felt like to me. And most of the time that doesn't work. But, I mean, sometimes it does work. And then when you see it working, you want it too. So
I can probably search it. I found someone on Twitter once wrote, that shit that just comes up on your timeline. And it just said, people are moments, and some moments are longer than others. I literally was like, I was sad enough.
That's the dumbest
shit. Is so dumb. And you know what? I was sad enough that day that I ate that shit.
You retweeted it. Oh, you made it your pinned tweet.
No, I did not. I wouldn't publicly. No, this is the first I've admitted of it.
Oh,
this was like a year ago. But I just remember, I'm like, yeah, I mean, just the reason I bought that up is because, one, I fucking ate it up wholesale at the time. But more importantly, I think I do think when you just get older, when this shit's over, like when a relationship ends, you just have a much more clear thing of like, all right, life goes the fuck on.
Yeah.
And then you start over again once you're more clear-headed and you've done the work.
Yeah.
Who did she think Pete was? She thought he was funny and talented.
Wait, John Michael.
I have the most.
What do you?
I don't like. I hate projecting heavy things on people, but like, I think she saw. There's a lot of similarities between him and Miller.
Yes.
And one of them being they're both funny. They're like affable. They're very sweet. They're very childish. Like, personally, like,
they're both moments. Just kidding.
Like, they both have like achieved incredible things when they're very young and shit like that. And the difference seems to be that he doesn't do hard drugs. And when you go through tragedy,
I don't know about
hard drugs, not drugs. He does so many drugs. But like, when you go through a tragedy, like, a lot of times people try to find like a reflection of the thing, and it's like, oh, this is this reflection. It's just missing this part that made it tragic.
Okay,
she's trying to rewrite it.
Okay. So, and is that perhaps what you think she's saying was in my head?
Well, and I think there's like a lot of. I think they both romanticized who each other was, and there's like a lot of references to this.
Which is what being in a relationship 100% has to be.
But she says
at first
she has that line. Like,
well, I think she.
But it's that there's that line about like, you want half of me.
Well, that one. But my favorite line is where, I don't think it's in here, but it's the one where she says, I saw your potential
without seeing credentials.
Yeah. And that, like, I love that line so much. But I think it's what you're saying, like, who does she think he is? I think on a very basic emotional level, she thought he was safe.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Because he is like, we made the joke. I mean, we make the joke, but it's true. Like, we're like, he's below her league, whatever. The joke was there. It's not like we really think anybody's out of anyone's league, to be honest. But
I just have bitterness towards Pete Davidson because I've had to review SNL for 6 months. So, like, I want to be very clear. I'm unfairly biased against him.
Well, I mean, like, again, like, nobody's out of anybody's league, but that was the thing people said. Like, she's too hot. And so I think she did know that. And knowing that in her mind, she's like, he's safe. He will love me. I do like him. he makes me feel things, but he's safe. He's not going to leave me.
Yeah.
He's going to give me security, and I'll be able to control him. Well, she wants control the way she couldn't control Mac. And I think that's what she saw. And unfortunately, you can't control anyone, and he's a person. Yeah. She didn't get that from him.
There's that line about the, like, tangled up in the sheet, like, the shit you say in the sheets, and then, like, you only wanting half of me.
Yeah.
And, like, he had these, I read a lot of interviews with, like, him, just because I think he's fascinating. But, like, some of the shit he said about her was, like, it sounds so nice until you think about it. And, like,
yeah. Wait, was it just about her being hot?
Yeah, it's just about her. He was like, I was jerking off to her before, like, we got together. And, like, but it also, like, if you're, like, he is, I imagine if you're young, and like, he has a very magnetic personality.
Yeah.
And you're like, oh, you've been thinking about me since before you even met me. And, like, then there's all these, like, kiss.
It's a fantasy.
Like,
they're meet literally cutes living that they in had. Their head.
And then after you've been together for a little bit, you're like, oh, wait a minute. All you're talking about is my pussy. And, like, beforehand, mm-hmm. you were jerking off to me. And, like, have you really just idealized
me? Right,
that's
one of the things we have pulled up here where he, like, references. He's like, I've been jerking off to her for years. And I'm like,
yeah.
What it's like, fuck?
Am I your goddess or am I a whole? And, like, he talked about her like she was a whole. And that made me feel real gross.
And she, the way she defended all that stuff where she's like,
for a minute.
It's all just, for a moment. Yeah, she was like, it's fucking jokes, people. Everybody, and I think the reason she defended it, I'll say, is because she purports herself that her sense of humor is super fucking twisted. She's said that before on record that she's
like
that's
from me, which I'm a cool
everybody
girl.
No, of
like,
course.
I think that's many, growing up around Disney or Nickelodeon.
I've matched with on.
You've seen so much darkness.
every person I've matched with on a dating app is like, I hope you can keep up with my dark sense of humor. And I'm like, I unmatch right the fuck now.
Yeah.
That is literally
really?
The first.
You don't just give them a box of the inside of Eli.
But I do think that like. Part of it for her also, and we've talked about this on the podcast, is dating a comic. She would fucking hang out at the Cellar and like real late at night too, and she would post this shit about like,
and that can get old.
Yeah. Real fast.
She's like, listen, I've had the wings, they're great. Yeah. And I feel like I'm good here.
And I think she does kind of see herself as like this funny person that's like, I'm gonna hang out with these comics. I think she totally. That's like her way of being part of being a comedian without being a comedian.
I think there's also for this song in particular, there's things you can pull from it if it's it because their circumstances, you know, take even the fame of it away. It is like not typical. It's not that relatable. But like when I heard like you only want half of me, I was in a relationship once and the guy was like, I think we should be open, but like I'm gonna be open and like you're gonna not be. And I was young and so and I loved him so much, but like that resonated with me because it was like, oh, I want to be with you wholly and you only want to be with me half the way. And like Pete didn't ever propose this to Miss Ariana, but like there's things in there that I definitely think women can cling to who have had shitty boyfriends, which is 100% of us.
The distancing. I definitely relate to that because it's a feeling of like if you're communicating and you're talking about your needs, even whether you're open or not open, like if you're on the same page about why you want to be open and not just to get ahead of insecurity, then it could be really good. But if it's a matter of control, like sometimes people use it to control each other, then it becomes like, oh, I want to control who you are outside. Because I like need to keep a piece of you for myself, which I think can be really toxic.
That was, and that's like there's that line which made me laugh. The I wanted you to grow, but boy, you ain't or wasn't budding.
Yeah,
which I'm like, oh, that's real cute.
No, there's a lot of good wordplay.
But also, like
people who on toxic boyfriends.
It seems like she gives this dude like even let's say it's not about Pete Davidson or whatever. Like whoever it is, and I think the reason like this song would connect to other people. Is there's like I think that's a common theme in relationships in general, just the amount of leeway you give somebody when you're young and you're like, you're gonna grow out of this. And then like you it, like in worst case scenario, you end up married and like 4 years later you're like, whoa, you still yell like you're 21 and drunk. And like I
and
think
you just love them.
Yeah.
Like love makes you think things are fine.
Yeah.
Like as I was sitting here judgmentally, I'm like, well, I've never been in a relationship where people are like, we knew that was going to end. And then I started going back and I go, oh boy, yes, I have. Yes, I have. And like, they were poor, you know? So like, I can't imagine, even though she was richer than him.
But. I'm still, I like, there are people who can't believe that we're still together after all the shit that we've been through.
You got married
shit.
At 24, but you guys have been together a lot longer.
We've been together for 17 years.
Right?
Yeah, but like, and so think of every shitty thing you've done in a relationship in 17 fucking years.
Yeah.
We've probably done that outside of cheating or hitting each other. And like,
well, then you've done nothing. Then you're fine.
I mean, like, no, there's so much shit. You can, 8 months, so
you can
know,
do
I mean,
so
like,
much shit.
Oh no! Yeah.
But like,
gosh.
Your friends. Think about your friends that are like, oh, they'll grow out of it, you know. And like, fucking Christ, that's. And also, the thing that sucks is like, I have empathy for this because like, there are definitely times I should have been broken up with, and she should have been broken up with, and like, we grew 4 years after we should have because we never had the consequence of a breakup. And in, like, I think it's like, I love that aspect of this song where she's like mature enough to be like, ah, fuck, I see your potential, but you're just stagnant. And like, I think that's really cool.
But well, that's what, sorry, go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to say, like, it's also like the line, we're kind of jumping ahead through the genius stuff, but we
it's
can.
Okay. It's
okay.
I feel like we'll let it flow and we can fill
totally.
In the gaps.
But it, when she says, like, look at you, boy, I invented you, Gucci tennis shoes running through your issues. A lot of people, what they caught on to was the Gucci tennis shoes. She's like, oh, she bought him nice shoes. And it's like, that's not what she's referring to. There's two things happening here, which is that, like, look at you, I invented you, obviously. Like, you're here, but who you are is not who I see you as.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then running from your issues is just as much about herself.
Mm-hmm.
Well, she has a line in Better Off about how she makes him. I swear my love is a drug makes you handle issues. And that's definitely about Mac.
And that is brought up in this.
Yeah, oh, okay.
In so, the genius thing.
But, well, I wasn't saying what you're talking about, like, about the, like, should break up, whatever. But that's not, you know, there's no should. It's if you love each other, then you're willing to work it out. And I think the difference is, like, real love is, like, you love someone through whatever, right? But then there's also the other, there's, like, the love drug, which she's talking about. The, like, it's not even lust. It's like the flimsy love where you're, like, I want this to be love.
It's physicality. Oh, yeah. It's butterflies. It's all of those
Totally. It's
things.
Like a bubble gum.
It's like you both put up a facade.
But you do need some of that, too.
Yeah, sometimes it's fun, but
with,
I think
with your real love. I think, like... Yeah. I'm about to get married, and so it's terrifying. You know, truly it's terrifying, and like ending. You never think about yourself getting divorced until you're about to get married. I think it's something I've learned, and so you have to have that real ground. But then, like, you gotta have some curtains and some pictures up in the house too. Like, you need to have, like, I love this person and I want to smooch them always.
Yeah.
But it can't just be that.
And there are people who, like, love each other who still break up because they're toxic for each other.
Totally. Absolutely.
And that's sometimes the worst kind of shit where you're like, oh, man, I could totally die with you. But if we stay together, it might be like next year.
Can I say something about the video at some point?
Oh, yeah, we're going to. That's the next thing. We can transition. That's awesome. Perfect.
Let's talk about the video.
You say it was awful or awesome?
Awesome. I really like the video.
The director referenced Kubrick as like an inspiration for this. So I'm like, all right, let's all take it down a notch.
It's a gnarly video.
I thought the video was also very good.
I liked it.
Particularly what I liked about it, and a lot of. First thing I read, I remember thinking, like, this is kind of an old school video. And then the first thing I saw when I was pulling the information for the video was it had gotten a lot of positive reviews for this late 90s minimalist aesthetic. And I was like, this totally is something that would play on MTV in the late 90s.
It's Jamiroquai, it's Janet Jackson, Busta Rhymes. It's like, we're in a room and this is the angle.
Yeah, totally. Back then it was like it had like a fisheye lens situation.
Yes.
Whereas now it's like much more.
Well, even just the green screen makeup and shit that they used.
No, I thought the legs were like the legs were so cool. At first, I was like, "Wow, that's her," and then it like, and then it like became very clear it wasn't, and so then I was disappointed. I thought it was interesting. The second person credited was like the fashion director, and I just was like, could have used a little more fashion if I can be fully honest.
Sometimes fashion is what you don't see.
Well, of course. No, and the boots were awesome. Like, there were, but like, I'm like, she was in this one outfit the whole time.
They were second credited because Vogue produced it. Okay. That's my, I also want to say something I just noticed at the end, which is important to me and most people don't give a shit. It was shot on film.
Yeah.
I noticed that, like, the grain of it.
Yeah, if you notice at the end, the last thing it says 35mm provided by Kodak. And I'm like, hell yeah, they put money on
this. Now, they did a weird thing with her eyes a few times, correct?
Like, okay. Uncanny Valley.
Yeah. It was like...
Where she gets the big anime eye.
Yeah, it was really... Because then I was like, oh no, am I old? Like, is this how she is this how she looks? But I almost think the video ended on the big eyes.
It did. I think it did,
That tripped me out. Big time.
It was Weirdly, I'm going to make a Midsommar connection. Because if you guys watched it, at the end when her flowers starts making that like wah, wah,
oh, when it waves,
The what's her face? Florence Pugh, the main character. She wears a flower crown. And
that's how you say her last name. Pugh.
Oh, I don't know what I say right. Yeah, but her flower starts doing the same thing that Ariana's eyes does, which is like everything's real and then this one little piece of this cartoon.
Yeah.
Reminded me of that. And similarly, it's kind of about tripping and drugs and entering this like false reality.
I hope it's also about like don't go to a plastic surgeon and get like don't get your face done as a filter.
Ariana already got
I know, but because it's like when it was happening, I was like, I don't like how that looks. Yeah. You know, and there's like a bunch of movies coming out where women are AI but look real.
Alita
is the one I'm thinking of. And you're like, well, this is not good for people with real eyes. Yeah. Like, it's really like, ugh. And so I almost hope that she was doing like a, this looks fucked up. I hope you see this is fucked up and you shouldn't want to look like this.
The video reinforced for me, like, because I wasn't 100% like, oh, this song is about like the way a person perceives you and then you figure out how a person perceives you. And then I saw the video and was like, oh, that's what this song's obviously about. Because it's like her features, when you do see them, are like constantly distorting, but they're distorting in the way that like men who don't actually look at the woman they're with's face describe the woman they're with.
Blow up doll features.
Yeah. And then it's like just her legs dancing. It's just her hair dancing. And she's like literally been painted out of the entire like scene. All that remains are these like iconic images of like what's sexy about her. And I was like, okay, maybe that's a little on the nose, but it's Vogue. So it seems like they should do that.
Oh, I thought it was like very, also the idea is that she's inside her head. You know, obviously that's how they present it. And, and I think it totally has the, without veering too far into like student film territory, it does a good job of being like,
it is 35 millimeter.
I know, right? It does a good job of being like trippy without being too trippy. Because I think that's what, as soon as you said Midsommar, I don't know if you saw, I shook my head immediately. I mean, I think it does have that same, I agree with you though. It does have that
kind of. I mean, it's I don't, the movie I have problems with, but I just specifically that flower moment, it reminded me of that.
I think that one of the, when they mentioned, they're like, it has a little bit of Kubrick, I'm like, I'd love to know which part, because this has no, this has nothing. I mean, what, that it's a moment in The Shining?
Part where you go crazy?
Yeah, yeah.
The part where break down his actors until they're
crazy. All work and no play.
No, it was it was virtual insanity.
Yeah.
Like, and that was
the really Kubrick directed like, Virtual Insanity by Jim Iroquois.
When it started, I was like, there better be like one of those airport conveyor belts, or I'm going to be pretty. And so, like, okay, and that's the, like, when you're in such a, like, stark, we're in one location.
Yeah.
You do need something, and the legs, and obviously the green screen of it was, I think it could have been a little more.
I liked the lighting a lot. Like, I like that you, and all a lot of the shots, you can see a circle light in her eyes, but you can also see, like, box, this is the photographer in me, that you can see, like, box, soft boxes, like, in her eyes, and they switch back and forth between circles and squares, and, like, it adds this very, like, fake presenting element to it. But also the fact that, like, if it's supposed to be represent, like, what's inside of her head and everything, that there's still elements of production that are, like, left in it. So it's, like, even in her head, there's, like, this is the the production front that I put forward, and it's still not, like, an honest image of me.
Are you referring to the part where, like, it, when she's singing, it suddenly, like, pops in your face?
That, but, like, whenever she's, like, really close to the camera, or, in, like, even, like, halfway up, you can, if you look in her eyes, you can see the ring of like the ring light.
Oh, I see what you're saying. Yeah, yeah.
She's so lucky.
Yeah,
but they're also, they don't put a box on the soft box. Fucking.
So you want, you think they want you to see that?
Yeah, I think it's very intentional because you can see like the outline of the box. Because like traditionally a soft box, they put like a screen in front of it.
Okay.
So that you don't see the shape of the light bulbs.
Yeah.
And you can see the shape of the lighting in her eyes in a way that normally would be like removed.
It's like she knows.
Yeah.
It's subconsciously, she already knows this is in her head. She's like, it's like as she's living, playing out the fantasy, she realizes it's a fantasy.
Well, I would argue anything. I agree wholeheartedly because I think anything, when it comes to music videos, movies, TV shows, there are people, except for apparently in Game of Thrones, really keeping an eye on production shit happening and even reflections. And you could easily fix that in post-production.
Yeah, my rule with music videos is anything you notice is intentional because they have 4 minutes.
Sure.
Like, a Game of Thrones episode, you could miss something maybe. But, like, in a four-minute music video, you're gonna edit out everything, especially for someone like her.
Does she listen to the podcast?
I wish.
You know what?
She's going to be really pleased.
I'm super sorry
with this,
about what I said.
Analysis.
I mean, hopefully this is the one that someone else hears it and is like, Ari.
Ari, you got to hear this.
You got to listen to this take. It is
a girl said you should
hot.
Sit in a room in silence.
And then talk to a bunch of shit about your ex-boyfriend. It was definitely not me.
I have a question to pose. This is my reading too much into it. But so obviously we've come with the two meanings. Like, it's in her head. Also, she made him up. In a, like, also petty way where she's like, I made you. But is there a version where she's, like sad that he's not in her head? Like, she, you know what I mean? Like, you know when you feel, like, alone with someone because you're like, you don't really know me.
Yeah.
And you're like, you say you know me. You say you love me. But, like, I can just tell you haven't, like, there's a piece of your own brain where, like, I wish I could, like, show you what's happening inside. And he can't ever be there because you're like.
Yeah.
You're like, you don't really know my pain, even though you claim you know.
I know that some of the meanest shit I've ever said in my life was when I was wounded.
Yeah.
So, like, I think that, like, the stuff in this where she says, like, really pointed, mean things, like, she references, like, a Kanye West lyric.
Uh-huh.
And, like,
have that there's, yeah. Man,
sorry.
You are
what's that lyric, Eli?
I thought that at one point because I was
everything you are made you everything you
yeah.
are. Woof, that is also powerful.
Yeah, there's a bunch of shit in there that's like that mean, but also like, I think that to access that level of like stabbing somebody, you have to be hurt. Like, no one just does that idly unless they're in roast battle or something.
I think that's why she gives so much. I mean, she is a Cancer and she's a moon child, but she's always giving.
Oh, she's a Cancer?
Yeah.
She's a double Cancer. What you, she said Cancer.
She's a very much a water sign, but she's.
That's me.
Oh, are you a triple sign or just double?
I'm a double Cancer sun and moon.
What's your rising?
I have no idea. My wife won't tell me.
What?
Her astrology.
Can't you figure it out?
Yeah, I could, but, you know, why would I take
that
from her?
I'm February 17th. I'm an Aquarius.
Wait, when's your birthday?
February 17th.
That's my birthday.
Really?
I'm not.
Wow.
Okay, so next year we have to do a co-birthday party.
Okay, awesome. February 17th. What year?
This is the most Aquarius shit.
I'm a year after.
Oh, but welcome to the club.
Wow.
What's your sun and moon? Do you know the full?
I don't know.
Oh, okay.
I know,
we'll
but the thing is, I've done it on podcasts before, but I was high.
Oh, okay.
And so I'm always like, let me take a picture. And then I'm like, I had a tarot card reading on a podcast once, and they gave me the Tower card. And then that's all I've clinged to. And everyone was like, no, there was like a lot of good things. I'm like, there were people falling off, dying. It was 9/11 as a tarot card. So
why would you do a tarot card reading?
February 17th, Paris Hilton,
Michael
Jordan, Billy Joe Armstrong, lead singer of Green Day, me and you.
Yeah.
That's it.
Well, that's good company. I mean, here I am.
Truly,
just
the greats.
I'm a water sign.
You're a Scorpio.
I'm a Scorpio. I have Cancer rising. But
oh my gosh, I forgot about
really
that.
Moody. But
wait, what's your rising?
Cancer.
Cancer. Sorry, I mean moon.
Virgo.
Virgo. Okay.
Yeah. So weird.
Guys, I have homework to
but
do.
I think she gives and she gives and she does it because she wants someone to like come in. You know what I mean? She's like, I'm gonna give and nurture, and then like I'll make you a part of me, and then you can come inside my mind.
I want to pose a question.
And they don't. They just stay there, and then she's like, why aren't you coming to my mind?
So I want to pose a follow-up question to that. Okay. I'm glad you said that. I think a lot of people who are givers, I do think there are certain people in life who are just very good nurturers. Like, they don't need the reciprocity. It's truly like a compersion thing where they get pleasure from providing pleasure. And I don't mean sexually. I mean, like, just across the board, being very thoughtful. And as long as they feel taken care of to a certain point, that's enough for them.
Yeah.
But I do often wonder, people who are givers or who do put themselves in that way, is because it's, look, reciprocity is mandatory. I don't think that's not a question. But I think, to what end are they doing that as a means for like collecting on that? Do you know what I mean?
I don't think it's that transactional. I don't mean she's doing it to collect, but I think it's this feeling when you're like, okay, if I can't share this part of me with you, why don't I just like try to bring you in a
she may not be going as deep as she thinks she is. She may think like, I've opened up, I've talked to you about things, and it's like, you know, sometimes vulnerability is needed.
Yeah,
sometimes
I'm glad you said that. I guess that's what I don't think it's overtly transactional, but I do think there is a kind of build up there that that's what creates resentment.
But
that's my feeling.
Okay. Another way to think about it though is also like, everyone needs her financially. And like, everyone around her does shit for her because of what her output does for them.
Yeah.
But her actions in a relationship are so completely different than her actions in every other facet of her life. Like, everything in her life is completely scheduled down from like waking up to like, even her exercise, her manager's involved in that probably to a certain degree.
Boy.
And then her relationships are the one place where she gets to provide outside of being Ariana Grande. So like there seems to be this habit, like there's, if you look at like the dudes that she dates, they're like highly successful, deeply insecure, high maintenance men who are also successful in their own life and also have handlers. And like the one thing that their handlers can't do is be her. And I think if you listen to a lot of her music, a lot of her disappointment comes from this place of, I gave you this like thing that I don't give anybody else.
Yeah.
And then you treated me like this. You chose, you treated me like sex was more important than what I was giving you. You treated me like drugs were more important than what I was giving you, or your ego, or like the, whatever your friends think about you as being in a committed relationship like you are. And like, I feel like that pops up on the last two records, like a lot, where her anger, it's almost never even like, fuck you, how dare you. It's like, there's like a hurt that's like hurt.
Yeah, it's sad.
And it's deeply, it's like a deeply personal hurt, but it's projected in a very petty way, if that makes sense.
Oh, totally. And like, 100%.
But I, that's how I love. And like if I do something really sweet for my wife and she doesn't notice, I am the cattiest bitch in the world about it. And I mean, like, I see that of myself in her music.
You guys have also heard the theory that people who become famous at an age that's under 18 end up staying at that age because their life changed in such a dramatic way that you don't have to go to college and learn. You just miss out on these building blocks of maturity and life experiences because you've had handlers.
For sure.
And so there may be part of her and the men that she's been with whose emotional maturity is low because they've had a manager since they were 12 years old.
Yes, and that's why I think like...
I want her breakup record for when she dates like a guy who gets famous at 28 or 30.
Well, that's why I like...
Taylor is a prime example of this.
I think she's like truly... And what's fascinating about her more so than because Ariana Grande clearly she's slipped, like she licked a donut in public. And she, you know what I mean? She's had some moments that, and obviously, wait, what am I saying? She's also had terrible things. You know, the Manchester thing happened. She has
had these
things that have been tectonic.
She's had traumas.
Yeah. Whereas, and I'm not taking away anything from Taylor Swift, but what I do think is interesting about her is she truly has painted it in a way where the most transgressive things to her are like, you took my backup dancers.
Exactly.
Like,
I mean, but that's a famous white woman's privilege.
Yeah, truly. And she,
that's why Ariana paints herself in the way. Yeah, she doesn't want to come across.
Right, exactly. But you're absolutely right.
That's 100% true.
Yeah, and so I think about that a lot where I'm like, even watching now where she's like, because her and Katie have squashed their beef, that she's now
Katie,
like...
Oh, Perry.
And
we
only
got it, Perry.
Really on Taylor's terms. Only really because like it's in Taylor's video and it looks good
And
for
I
her.
Think it's like... it's.
For Katie doesn't care. She's like,
it's on her album that's supposed to be redemptive.
Yes. And but at the
it's very
time,
transactional.
She's like, I married Russell Brand, so like I've had bigger fish to fry. You know, like I've been through some shit, Taylor.
She's also like, all right, well, let me close this door and open up a new fucking drama wing where she's like, hey, Scooter Braun, I'm coming for you. I guarantee you her and Ariana are going to fucking exchange some work. Well, I don't know, because it might not even blow. Like, I feel like this is already done.
It's already blown over.
She's not going to come for Ariana.
But I, because also it's not just Ariana. There's Justin Bieber and...
And her and Bieber did have some words.
Yeah.
That's true.
Yeah. But I don't know. I feel like
and
if
Demi
people...
Lovato now is with Scooter. Sorry.
But like, if you read like Twitter and Instagram and all that shit, like when they had words... People were just kind of like, I don't know, this seems like a normal business thing.
Yeah.
Like,
I think
it
was a lot of people being like, wait, you don't own your own music? Yeah. Like, every time just, that comes up, you're like,
I'm just like, if Less Than Jake was smart enough to cover their songs and put the albums out again, you should be that smart for Taylor Swift.
Well, I also think that...
That's
I mean,
a ska band.
She had the thing with...
I didn't know they did that. That's so funny, because they didn't own it, so they did it as a cover.
Yeah, just, like a bunch of bands re-record their own albums so that they have, like...
It's a hard hat to pass for
sure.
Someone who obviously is already so wealthy.
It's also so industry. It's like then you have to explain how the actual industry works.
Like,
right, and she also like did this. I mean, there are two different situations, but the kind of the notes are still the same, even if the music's different.
Yeah.
Which is that like
the thing with Kanye where she was like, I want to be excluded from this narrative. And then Kim Kardashian was like, oh, here are some receipts. It's kind of that same thing where people are like, well, it's unfortunate and you don't deserve this, you know, if you feel violated. But also, you're headlining the Rose Bowl tomorrow.
Yeah.
Who cares? You know what I mean? Like, it's a weird thing. Where at the same time, she's right to be upset if she didn't want to be. But I don't know. I'm also like, if you were really going to stop this, why isn't there like a legal thing? I don't know. I feel like there's something
missing.
She just
wants sympathy. She wants to play the victim. Yeah. It's good for her record sales.
Yep. So
I still like her music.
It's good bops.
Yeah, I still like the music.
Hey,
a lot.
The Archer finally won me over because, man, this album I've been jumping.
Really?
I did not like me. You Need to Calm Down.
I did not like
Me. Me is like the one side of it, a very abusive relationship. That's what sounds.
Me is just a terrible song. It honestly sounds like to me sounds like a song where you get your ex, you tie them down Clockwork Orange style and make them listen to that song.
God,
for
yeah.
And you're like,
there's a lot of cool chicks out there. There's a lot of lame guys out. It's like, wait, that. What?
When she did, as soon as she goes, hey kids, spelling is fun. I remember I actually had like a gut reaction. I went like or something like that in my car.
I liked Me. Like I feel like it's cloying to the point where like I feel like I'm gonna get cavities from it. But it's also, I was so happy to see her just do a song that wasn't mad about something I couldn't care about. And then the You Need to Let Go, I was like, you need to calm down. I was just kind of like, okay, come on now. Like, that's the one that I was like, fuck this.
I do like the song, though.
I love the music of it.
I can't get the lyrics, it's so fucking pandering.
Yeah.
Taylor, You Need to Calm Down.
It's, you know what, with me, almost like to me, it's like the opposite of, like, both extremes are bad, but like, Taylor's is like, she puts down the person she's with so they'll want to stay with her, and she has a grandiose version of herself.
Yeah.
Ariana's problem is the opposite end, where she like really builds up the person she's with, and then kind of, she doesn't like put down herself, but she's definitely like makes it all about how they're like her equal and they're so good. And
it's far more
he's
reflective.
A god to her.
Sure.
And she, you know, she's not worthy. And then that also is bad because it's like the best version is you're comfortable with yourself, and then you're like,
and you
pick
someone and you're like, yeah, I like them.
Yes. You don't
and I know myself well enough to have picked this person.
Yeah.
And if you don't respect it, then I don't really fucking care.
Yeah.
That's the, like, this with Taylor, sometimes I feel like with the Ariana Grande records, each record, at least the last two that I've listened to, are, like, it feels like you get to watch her go through a journey of her feelings. And by the end of it, she comes to, like, a place of acceptance.
Mm-hmm.
And every Taylor Swift album is like,
I need a new boyfriend.
Yeah. There's no journey. It's just kind of like, go fuck yourself. And also, it's
like her saying the same side of the argument over and over. And this is why I'm right.
This time, there's dubstep instead of a banjo.
Ariana definitely makes like those mini series that have like complete arcs, and then they use the same cast the next season for a new story. And Taylor's just been doing the same episode of Grey's Anatomy for that's my analogy.
American Horror Story versus Grey's Anatomy.
100%. Is there anything else?
I'm just looking at the lyrics to see if we missed anything.
I think we,
I think we got everything. There was
we've covered
a lot.
We've done good work.
Yeah.
The one line I like that I'll just quickly say, we don't have to get too into it, but the Cain and Abel, I really like.
She did a wordplay. I put that there. Yeah, please read it.
She says, my imagination's too creative. They see Cain and I see Abel. And she goes, I know you're Abel, Willen, and Abel. And I like that wordplay. I think it's good wordplay.
Good biblical reference.
Yeah.
And it's also because Abel wasn't originally evil. So she's also, what she's saying there, she's not just saying like, I see evil when you're, or I see good when you're evil. She's saying like, you know what? People aren't black and white. Like, at one point, Cain and Abel were both good.
Yeah. But she also says at one point, she also says they say angel.
I see demons.
I see demons.
But same with demons. I mean, I'm not very religious, but who's the angel that fell from? Isn't the Satan an angel?
Lucifer.
So until you
become. The OG fallen angel.
Until you do the bad thing, you're still good. You're not born bad, or depending on how you believe. But I think she believes he's good until he's done something bad.
Yeah. I mean, that's the thing with, like, you're saying with Abel is, like, Abel wasn't a murderer. He was just put in a position, and then the expectations that were put upon him, he wasn't able to handle him, so he killed his brother. And it's like, oh, so maybe she's saying like, yeah, you fucked up, but like there are too many expectations put on you. But even that, I was like, oh, you're just making excuses
for
him.
Kind of
I wish we could record reactions, because Megan just made the best face. I was like, ooh.
Well, I don't want anyone's brother to get killed. You know, that seems like gotten too far.
That's fair enough. Something we do at the end of every episode is we rate the song on five high ponytails.
Mm-hmm.
I'll go first. I give this song a full five. Okay. It's great. It's super vulnerable. I think it also is like a catchy song.
Yeah.
Well, not catchy is not the right word, but musically, like, you know, you're enjoying what you're hearing as well as being devastated by it. Mm-hmm. That's my assessment.
I'm going to give it a full five as well. it's definitely become my favorite song. It wasn't my favorite song
at first. I feel like I'm in like Wayne's World right now.
Show in.
No. I think this has pulled ahead as a sleeper favorite for me, and it's only growing on me every day.
Oh, one thing I want to say is that it does follow Ghostin, which is mm-hmm. a good like follow-up so in the middle of a devastating journey.
Yeah.
Like mm-hmm. those two, I think they're good companion pieces.
Yeah.
So, yeah. John Michael?
I would do like a four and then like a half of a ponytail flip. this record annoys me sometimes. Like, I like Sweetener a whole lot. And this one, I feel like by the end of it, I dislike her as a person far more than I did on like the previous one. The breakup with your boyfriend song, I wish I could throw that into the ocean and have it never be heard again. Like, I despise everything about that song.
I like it.
I like it.
Too. Yeah. I like the production. I just hate the... I think it's I don't know. There's another episode you'll do for it. But,
it's no, really, I get wish, it. She doesn't come off as likable.
But also, like, I think it's cool that there's this song and that song.
Yeah.
And, like, I think that there's a fun dichotomy with it. But this is my favorite song off that record. It's just not my favorite record of hers. I'd do, like, four, but, like, a flippant flip on the other one.
And Megan.
I'm going to give it four high ponies. But I do think that's because I am in preparation of a wedding.
Yeah.
If I was single and or going through a breakup, I would give it five ponies. But it's really, it's a cautionary tale song. And it's not one that my palate wants right now.
Totally. That sheds a lot of light on why I'm giving it five. I'm like,
I know, I really gave you like two, because you know when you're like referencing something and you're like, don't look at the person, but then it's too obvious. So then I was like, well, I'll look at you when I'm saying it. But then it's well, then that was too much. You know, like,
still stand by it. It's fine.
No, exactly. Well, I feel like I read you in a way that was not my intention. It was me coming from a place of, I feel you, girl.
Right. 3 months ago, it was a four. Okay.
Yeah, yeah. I think the song, I've been here.
I've been there.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I've been there, and I've also been running in my Gucci shoes. But they were like from a Coach Factory outlet store.
Where can people find you guys?
Oh, gosh, I have an album coming out this fall. I don't know the date, but if you follow me, Instagram, Better Megan Gailey, Twitter, Megan Gailey, MEGANGAILEY.
I'm on Twitter at Bon John, or let's say Bon John Bond. I fucking hate remembering my names. Bon John Bond, and I'm on Instagram at John Michael's Mistakes. And I have a website that's just johnmichaelbond.com, and I'm doing a 35-day tour in October.
Whoa.
Wow.
Which is the longest I've ever gone
you
out.
You seem excited.
Myself.
Yeah.
I have. As soon as I'm done booking it, it's going to be so much fun. I've got like 29 dates of it booked out, and then the rest of it is getting fucked over because of college football season in the South, which doesn't apply to almost anyone listening to this podcast. So,
and
2 weeks, check out my website.
Pay the players.
Yeah.
100%. It's an absolute crime.
In this case, you do hate the players. Is that what you were
No, I love the players. No, I hate the trustees players. Of the colleges.
Yeah. College sports is the most corrupt racket.
And racist on every level.
Yeah.
Welcome to the college.
Our spinoff podcast.
Okay, yeah. Please tune in now. All right. Thank you, guys.